This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Everybody, welcome to the Monday morning edition of the St. Louis Blues NHL podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my counterpart in crime here on Monday mornings, McKendree University Bearcats Hockey Division II head coach, Gary Henson. What's going on, bud?
Good morning.
Good day to be a Blues fan, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Now that's the word I have to use to describe this as wow.
I'm at a loss.
Well, typically I jump into the shameless plug for the show, but since I use the word wow, let's just go to the person that's awesome at being awesome and start this thing off, because this has been a just blessing for the fans of St. Louis, especially with the struggles over at, what is that, Clark Street Mafia, they call that?
The Cardinals.
So if anybody's having a good time with this, I assure you it's our own Angela Sharp. Angela, you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys, what's going on this morning?
Well, I can only imagine the amount of fun you had at Scott Trade Center yesterday. You want to tell us a little bit about the atmosphere and what was going down?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how fun this has been. This has been an awesome playoff series. You know, everything started off with the first away game. We had a watch party out at one of the local hot shots, and a lot of people came out to that. And after seeing that game and seeing – you know, Jake just basically sealed that game for us. I mean, he played out of his head, which was awesome. So I was very much looking forward to yesterday at the Scott Trade Center, and that place was incredibly loud. It was awesome. I mean, playoff hockey is—it's just another level of—I'm going to say amazing, because that's what it is. It's just another level of being amazing, and it's so loud in that building that I usually wear like a little IFB, a little thing in my ear, so that I can hear my boss if he wants to, like, add something extra for us to run and go do. I can't even hear him in my ear because the building is so amazingly loud when Jake makes an awesome save or we score a goal or whatever. It's so amazingly loud that it was just exciting to be there. It's exciting to be there. You know, obviously the fans are super pumped. You know, we were coming in, you know, 2-0 yesterday. They were super pumped. And then as that game started playing out, it just got louder and louder in the arena. And, I mean, I can't wait for Wednesday now. Wednesday's going to be crazy.
My question to you is, does Blues fan, and I say that generically, like Blues fan, does Blues fan have the right to feel this way after some disappointments in the past? Like, you know, we've had plenty of times, you know, it's been recent too, like up 2-0 and then all of a sudden you can't find the other win and all this stuff's going on, and it seems like there's always something you can point to, like this, that, or the other thing. But you come home up 2-0 against a team that's above you in the standings, and Jake Allen is playing out of his mind, and everything's going right, and then we get the first goal. We're playing well, and then, of course, when you get that go-ahead goal, the place – obviously, I wasn't there. I was at home. But, I mean, you could feel it through the television set. And then, you know, obviously, Gary was there, and, I mean, he talks about the atmosphere – Is that part of it for Blues fan, that they're so used to maybe the other shoe dropping that when it doesn't, it's just you almost like awesome?
Well, I mean, the fans have always been awesome during playoffs. You know, I mean, last year during our Chicago series, it was very much very similar. I mean, and that series went all the way to game seven, I mean, seven games. Let's hope that this one we can end on Wednesday. That would be the goal. But, I mean, the fans have always been super involved during playoffs. I mean, you can hear your ears ringing that the fans are so loud. But, I mean, yeah, this is part of playoff hockey. You know, like, the team that's hot is the team that, you know, you want to be a part of. So it's awesome that the team that's hot right now is us. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just can't explain. I think the biggest thing, though, really, and I guess where I was going with it earlier, is Jamie and I and Darren talked about it in the studio. I mean, literally just a couple of months ago, we didn't even think we'd be in the playoffs possible. I mean, it was a realistic possibility that we wouldn't be in the playoffs, much less sitting here up 3-0 against Minnesota. I mean, it's got to be crazy. Fan reaction in the place, like you said, so loud. What's the encore here? I mean, can you imagine it being any louder a couple days from today?
I mean, yeah, actually, I mean, it's so amazing because it's so loud. But yeah, I mean, I think Blues fans always can find another level as we keep going. You know, and let's assume that we, you know, do just as well as we've been doing on Wednesday. I feel like, yeah, it's gonna take it to the next level of loud and crazy, and that's what we want. We want a next level of loud and crazy, and the players have already spoken out in the media and various other places that, you know, they can hear the fans when the fans are in the game, and there's nothing like playoff hockey.
Yeah, Angela, that's scary. So I was there yesterday, and I think the difference, kind of what the difference between regular season and playoffs for the fans, or what the fans are doing, is there's like this constant noise. You know what I'm saying? Like, during the regular season, the noise levels go up and down. But during the playoffs, it does go up, but it never comes back down. And honestly, we couldn't hear the whistles. Like, we were going off the linesmen and the referees' signals to see what was going on, because it was so loud and sustained for such long periods that we couldn't even – honestly, I couldn't hear the whistle go. At one point – well, I know when Parenko scored – you know, the horn, we barely could hear that. Like, it was just, right. I know, the big horn. Like, it was, we were like, holy cow. So, but I think that's, again, I think it's the level of energy in the building never, like, really subsides. It always has this, you know, this sustained, heightened urgency the whole time. And I think that's true of NHL playoffs in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been to games before. I've only done a couple years ago when Nashville and the Ducks played, I went down there. And I mean, that is, it's playoff hockey. It's got that murmur to it, like, the whole time. But when you're teamed up like we are right now, it just takes it to the next level. And, you know, assuming we make it past this round, because, you know, I never want to take anything for granted, but assuming you make it through this round, like I know we're going to, that's going to just bump up one more level. And, you know, outside games, assuming it doesn't rain, we're going to have these little, like, pregame pep rallies to kind of get the fans going a little bit more. And
right.
I was out there yesterday. You know, there wasn't a band yesterday. We didn't have a stage yesterday. You know, it was supposed to rain yesterday, so we didn't want to hurt anybody. But the fans were just out there, kind of gathered out there before the game. And those fans on their own are starting Let's Go Blues cheers, you know, without any guidance on the help. They're just doing it on their own.
Right.
And I think that is also another aspect of playoff hockey that you don't normally get. I mean, in the arena yesterday before the – like our light show, I don't know what we're calling that, the projection on the ice before that.
It was
started.
Pretty cool. I saw it on Facebook. It was cool.
It was very cool.
It's awesome. It's awesome. But before that started, fans on their own got a Let's Go Blues cheer starting. And it wasn't just like a section of fans. Then it wasn't just like some of the fans. It was the whole arena. And that's awesome. I mean, that is really cool to be a part of, to hear it. And, you know, it's fun to watch a game and not be able to hear the whistles being blown or your boss talking to you in your ear because the fans are so loud. I mean, it's an experience that if you haven't got a chance to do it, I hope you get a chance to attend a playoff game because it's so much fun.
Well, I can only imagine what it's going to be like in a couple days. I'm with you. I'd like to do the sweep. I often wonder and kind of go back and forth with the whole, you know, if we were to sweep – you know, in a perfect world, obviously. I mean, let's face it, the Wild are not going to go away quietly in this, I'm assuming. But if we were to, I mean, I've always wondered about sitting there waiting while the other team is battling and keeping their intensity level up. I never know. I it always makes me wonder. But you know what? Those are good problems to have, I guess, and we shall see.
Yeah, if you want to have a good problem, it's wondering if you're you know, sitting too long, I think. I think that's a good problem to have, as opposed to being the Wild in the situation where they have to survive every day to keep playing.
Well, and when we go to Jamie next, and we will remind him that you went first today, by the way, that you were top bill.
Yes!
But we'll go to him. We'll ask him, because I got a feeling that some of the players, especially the ones that are hurting, will say, yeah, I'll take the few days. So that would be my guess.
Right, yeah. Give him a little time to mind up. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be exciting on Wednesday. That's all there is to it.
Well, you're awesome at being awesome. Tell everybody how they can find you.
Hey, you can find me on any of the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it.
All right, good stuff. We will see you soon.
Yeah, see you guys soon. I hope you guys come out Wednesday. And even if you're not coming to the game, you know, weather permitting, Wednesday before the game, there's going to be a pep rally just outside. So come on out and hang out. Some of your favorite Blues fans.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. See you later. Bye, guys.
That was Angela Sharp. Everyone knows she's awesome at being awesome. We're lucky to have her each Monday with her insight, both into the game itself and, of course, just her general relationship she has with the fans and what she does for Blues hockey and for fans everywhere. You know, when I watch a game like that, I think about her, because I think, you know, what is going on with the fans right now? Because the place is so electric, and to hear her say that she can't even hear with her thing in her ear with the, it's just got to be an amazing feeling. And, you know, she's no different than anybody else. She's lived with the highs and lows, and probably at times struggled to get people going when things aren't going so well, but she's great at what she does. We appreciate having her each week, and we know you do as well. Make sure you guys give her a follow as well. She does great stuff. Before we go over to Jamie, let's remind you that you can check out the show at St. I'm sorry, you can check out the show at BluesNHLPodcast.com. Of course, we appreciate when you get there, just click subscribe to the podcast. It is free. You'll click on your mobile provider there. It'll walk you right through it. Just takes a minute. Each time we do a show, you'll get a notification letting you know that it's out. Twitter right now is on fire. We love Twitter. We sent out today. We'll address a few of the questions that are going on out there from fans today by using Twitter. So that's at STL Blues Podcast. We're going to do that quite frequently, especially during the playoffs. We want to know what you guys want to know, so we'll discuss it. So today we got some questions for Jamie when we get him on the line, basically through the Twitter feed. So make sure you follow us at STL Blues Podcast. Facebook as well, just type in Blues NHL Podcast. We ask that you like our Facebook page. And really, the only thing we generally ask from you guys is to share our stuff on social media and like our stuff. We're just trying to reach as many Blues fans as possible and let them know that the show is out there, because at the end of the day, we do the show for you, and we want you guys to feel like you're a part of the show. So social media is the best way to do that. On Twitter, it's at STL Blues Podcast, and of course on Facebook, just type in Blues NHL Podcast. Special thanks goes to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. If you're a podcaster, which you probably are because you're listening to this show, I assure you, okay, there are tons of shows. This is the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Give them an opportunity for your entertainment time. They take it very serious. Check them out, lineupmedia.fm. Okay, we're going to take it over to Jamie here in just a second. But before we do, I want to remind everybody that I couldn't do this Monday show alone. It would suck. And Gary jumping in and being a part of it. You know, he's a part of the McKendree University staff there. Coaches, you know, an up-and-coming hockey team here in the Midwest. They're no longer the secret. They've really fed off the hotbed of Heartland of Hockey thing going on, the St. Louis hotbed. Their program is growing each and every day, and I appreciate him coming in here each and every week. But, of course, McKendree University is what allows him to do that. Gary, tell everybody, if they want to learn a little bit about McKendree University, where they can go.
Just go to www.mckendree.edu. That's our site. You can see everything you need to see about McKendree there. If you're interested and you're looking for schools, or you have a child or a student, son, daughter looking for schools, I suggest that you go to our Visit Campus tab and schedule a tour with our admissions department. They do a great job. If you want to meet a particular professor in a particular field, or you want to talk to a particular coach about maybe some opportunities athletically, you just let the admissions know, and they'll set all that up for you. So you're going to get Class A treatment, and you're going to get a great tour. You're going to get a tour of the main campus, tour of our performance center that our athletes use, and of course, a tour of the McKendree Metro Recplex, which is a brand new $30 million facility with two sheets ice, Olympic sized pools, yoga rooms, bike, everything. And memberships are great there. So things are really happening up there in the O'Fallon, Lebanon area. And we'd like you to come out and visit us and get a good taste for what we're doing there.
Friend of ours just committed there to play golf. Good for him.
Yeah, I saw that.
Great instant.
Yeah, you know. I saw that.
And he's a high academic kid, and I know the academic program there had a lot to do with it. It wasn't just golf.
No, it wasn't. He's looked into a couple things, and in particular our 3-2 program, our engineering program that we have in connection with U of I. That's a really good program, and I'm really happy for him and really proud of him, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to sit here and tell you, I feel like he's going to be real successful there. And the kid's just, he's getting better every day at golf. I mean, you should see, I mean, he hits it a mile and straight. So I'm really happy for him. And we have a lot of programs like that. And a lot of young people, my kids go to McKendree. So that's the best selling point I have.
Should I say, I wish my kids could go to McKendree? How about that?
Yeah, well, you okay, got two it? Coming, you know, you're, you know, the lowdown and McKenzie, they could make their way there pretty easily.
Well, we shall see, right? Well, let's go to the real expert here, as that's how he likes to be called. He told me to say that. He said, when you get me going, make sure you bring me in. No, he didn't say that. I'm just kidding. But he is a busy dude. I mean, when he can't get on here first because he's actually on the ice after working all day yesterday and stuff, it's amazing what this guy's doing for youth hockey in St. Louis on top of his normal chores and duties, as he would say. But let's get Jamie Rivers on the phone as we speak. Jamie, are you there?
I am here.
You are there. You're everywhere right now. I mean, whether it's KMOX, Fox Sports Midwest, any other station, you're everywhere talking Blues hockey. But what else would you rather be talking about right now?
Well, I'm telling you what, it's always great to be talking Blues hockey, and certainly talking Blues hockey when they're winning and doing well and are up 3-0 on the Minnesota Wild.
Well, not that you want to take credit for anything, but this is kind of going exactly as you had mentioned a couple weeks ago. When we were looking at first-round matchups, you mentioned Minnesota and the fact that you know, they weren't playing their best hockey as they had been earlier in the season, but you know, what we're seeing is a Minnesota team that's kind of throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us here, and the Blues seem to be pushing back, getting great play from Jake Allen and timely goals from their guys. Now, this recipe obviously is working, but, man, there's a lot of pressure going on out there, and we're kind of pushing back. What are you seeing?
Well, yeah, you know, this, I don't know if it's going exactly.
Pretty close.
I mean, I wanted us to take one game in Minnesota and come back here and put the pressure on. But certainly being in the spot that we're in right now is great. And, yeah, Minnesota, you know what? They're not playing bad. You know, that's the thing out here is Dubnyk's playing well. The team in front of them is playing well. But they're not able to penetrate, you know, the Blues – as far as getting really great scoring chances. And when they do, the few that squeak through to a guy who's wide open or a situation where a guy gets a prime time spot, Jake Allen is answering the call. So, you know, between the way that the Blues are playing and limiting the chances and the way that Jake Allen is playing when called upon, it's got to be so frustrating right now for the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, the part I will say is that now they find themselves in that spot that we discussed before last week on the show, where now the pressure's on. And Bruce Boudreau, as great as a coach as he is, and he's been in these situations before, unfortunately, he's been relieved of jobs in the past because he can't finish out the big games. And that's going to start creeping its way in here. There's a big storm cloud that's right above his head right now. And the players know it. He knows it. And the fans know it. And you know, now's the time more than ever for the Blues to put their foot on the gas to make sure that this thing ends and they can end it as soon as possible.
You know, as a fan, I often wonder about that whole coach thing, getting him over the hump, not being able to win in the playoffs. I'm just so confused of what the real difference is and how it plays. Explain that a little bit to us. Like, I mean, the guy obviously is a fiery guy. I mean, it's funny how we talked about the levels of redness and all that on his face, and some fans, as you saw on Twitter, really enjoyed that. So, you know, I don't know, what is for us that we're not in the locker room. I mean, does the demeanor change for a coach? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, you know, the demeanor does change, and you go from the guy who's laser focused during a season, that is prepared, that has his plan, that knows exactly, you know, what we're doing, and, you know, all that stuff is very, you can just tell. It's like, okay, he's got it. You don't ever have to sit there and wonder, oh, well, what are we doing that for, you know? And when the pressure starts to hit coaches, they look for sometimes a way to change it. And sometimes when you go looking for a way to change it, it's just that. It's kind of searching for answers that you're spitballing almost as a coach. And, you know, your preparation changes. Your systems might get tweaked. You might switch lines. You might change power plays. You might change day of the game routines. I mean, you might do some wacky stuff just because you feel like the team needs a change, or we have to change all this stuff to change the flow of the series and the games. And they know when there's a lot of change going on. They know when there's erratic change going on. And, you know, from Bruce Boudreau, who's obviously one of the best coaches in the league, certainly regular season, when he starts acting like that, or when those things start happening, players pick up on that and they know, uh-oh, if he's panicking, maybe we should be panicking.
You know, I guess when I look at this thing and how the Blues are playing and the recipe that's working, and then now you add in the whole fan experience down there, as the place is going crazy. You know, Gary talked about it. He was at the game yesterday. It's at a complete another level. You can't hear, you can't think. That's got to be like, there's no way, I don't care what level of sport you play, when even at the highest level, those players from Minnesota got to be sitting there going, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you're looking at it. First of all, most of the guys on that team are used to some loud crowds. A lot of guys have been in the playoffs, and it's amazing what you get used to. And it's amazing, as I tell my boys sometimes, it's amazing what you can just absolutely tune out. And you don't even realize things sometimes as a player that are going on around you. Now, however, when the crowd is as loud as they've been, as is involved, and I mean, when there's such a level of intensity in the building, excitement, so much riding on these games, that's where the focus and the attention to the player changes sometimes. And when things don't go good, like we've been talking about, you start to notice some of these things more than you ever have in the past. And you notice that the crowd is loud. You notice that you can't hear your guys on the ice. You notice that you can't hear the coach on the bench. And all of that now starts to come into play, where instead of playing the game, now you're focused on, you know, damn, the crowd is too loud. You know, like, you hear these people, like, and you start to get frustrated, and you start to discuss your environment more than you are the game. And I think at that point is when, you know, that's where the crowd really becomes a part of the series, is when things are going bad for the opposition and they start to notice just how good your crowd is.
Yeah, Riv, so I think that, so they're really frustrated. If you read the quotes from yesterday's post game and today that were released, Boudreau's frustrated, the players are frustrated, and I know when I'm on the bench, obviously not in an NHL arena, but when we're on the bench with the guys, you're right. When things aren't going well, they hear things they wouldn't normally hear or pay attention to, and it just adds to the level of frustration, because let's face it, they aren't playing bad. Like you said, they're playing well, and they're throwing tons of pucks on net, and Jake's making really big saves and really big moments to shut down any momentum they're generating. And so they're squeezing the sticks. They're frustrated on the ice. They come to the bench. The coaching staff's frustrated. And all of that leads to this heightened sense of, you know, your surroundings, I think. And I think so that when the crowds are loud, it does have an effect on them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, it's just such a thing that, and the crowds, they need to realize that they play a big part in it. And I've said this before when I was a player, that it may not be game one, it may not be game two, it might be game four, five, six, where all of a sudden you become the difference maker. And it just goes back to just like we've been discussing, where you've got tough times for one team and good times for another, and the crowd becomes a factor. And you know what? It can work on the home team side as well, to where if you're not playing well, and we've seen this before where the crowd kind of turns on the home team, and now all of a sudden all those people that you've managed to block out in a, just because you're focused on the game, now all of a sudden you're hearing the boos, you're hearing the, you know, some of the stuff being yelled, you're hearing the fans yell your name, you're hearing all sorts of stuff because, you know, your brain is only so strong, your concentration is always so strong, and when you have a lot of things going really bad for you, it's amazing how you just lose that part of your focus, and you can hear stuff going on around you. So the home crowd must realize that they can help in many, many ways, and certainly cheering on the home team and not dogging on them helps the boys for sure.
Yeah, they were great yesterday. Like we talked to Angela earlier. We couldn't hear whistles. And I kid you not, when Parenko scored, when 55 scored that first goal, we could barely hear the horn. Like the goal home.
Oh, I know.
It was insane.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was so great.
You know, fans are going completely crazy over this right now. And again, it isn't that Blues fans, I hate to use the term lost hope, but man, things were pretty bleak for a while there. And, you know, we had talked in the studio at times about, you know, are we a playoff team? Are we not? You know, all of our good friend Kimby. He was a little pessimistic about the outcome of the season and where we would go. Could you even have imagined this, though?
Stick it to King Kimble a little bit here.
Yeah, it's going to be King Rivers. Is it King Jamie?
Yeah, let's do that just so he can just sit there and stew in that for a week or so.
Well, if you put the crown on, it's going to slide right over your shoulders.
Yes, if it was on.
Well, I'm going to have to get my own crown made, obviously.
Well, you know what the fans, you know, there's a lot of great fan support, and we have, and we sent out another thing this morning, like what some people were thinking, so we got a couple things to cover with you. But before we do that, I got to ask you, you know, because this is the other problem with this whole deal. A lot of people are missing Jamie's pissed. I mean, you don't really have anything to be pissed about right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could bring up, you know, guys who cut me off at Walmart or things like that. I mean, I could be I'm pissed about a lot of things in life, but I'm not pissed about the Blues right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I really think that they're doing well. I think that they've responded well to Mike Yeo. I think that he's done a great job of making that team his own and, you know, putting his stamp on it. So right now, guys, unfortunately, I have nothing to bring as far as Jamie's pissed about the Blues. Now, if for some reason we are starving for airtime one day, we can certainly air out my dirty laundry and people can get a good dose of Jamie's pissed in his regular life.
Nobody wants to be around your dirty laundry, I can assure you.
Well played.
Well, you know, it is going crazy out here with fans. So we sent out a little thing this morning, you know, just, you know, how are people feeling about this? Couple things that maybe we can get your thoughts on that were coming in. This one is probably what a lot of Blues fans, while they're very excited and they're very happy right now, I see this a lot, so I know that a lot of people are feeling this way. I don't like the get a one-goal lead, then just survive the rest of the game plan, but our Blues are executing it to perfection this far. What's your thoughts on that statement?
Well, you know, the playoffs, let's be honest, the playoffs are built around one-goal games and overtimes. And so, you know, you get that one-goal lead. It's not like they're not trying to score any more goals. They are, but you know, for whatever reason so far in this series, it's either been through Minnesota playing well or the referees being absolutely horseshit yesterday. It's given the Wild some momentum, and it's put them in a situation to where they've had to give up shots, and it looks like they're trying to hang on, but they are still limiting the primetime scoring chances. They're still pushing everything to the outside. So, you know, the one goal league, we're not trying to just hang on. It's just that the other team is there for a reason too. They're a good hockey team, and they're going to do everything they can to push and push and push to make sure that it doesn't become a two goal lead. So it's playoff hockey. That's kind of the way it goes. I guess one goal leads in overtime is what I deal with.
Well, and again, there's nobody out there like freaking out about it, but it's like in the back of everybody's mind. But I thought about that too. I thought, well, this is what you get. I mean, it's nail biting. It's straining you. You know, it'll stress you out if you really let it. So, it's good stuff. Here's one too that I think when the schedule came out, we kind of looked at it and scratched our head a little bit, as we understand that schedules aren't always perfect, especially when, you know, you're talking about building use and things like that. But and real quick, I missed that last one. That last one was from Sean Jay at Blue Note Backer. At Blue Note Backer, Sean Jay was our last question. This one comes to us from Sam Gruss at SCGRUS_6. How do you guys think this two-day break will affect both teams? Almost feel it gives Minnesota a chance to regroup. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think it gives them a chance to regroup. I mean, realistically, I think that this two-day break for me is a great chance for the Blues to regroup. And that's the way I look at it. You know, you got Jake Allen, who's faced 117 shots so far in the series. You have Jaden Schwartz, that's played more minutes in a three-game span than he's ever played in his life. You have Petrangelo, who's played above 27 minutes in each of the games. And you have a number of other players who've been eating up a lot of big minutes, and you got bumps and bruises. And let's not forget that we also have Asney, who is nursing his way back to health here. So I don't know when he becomes, you know, a player in this whole thing, but 2 days off gives him and the staff a better chance to hopefully nudge him forward. So for me, this two-day break is fantastic for the Blues, and it gives them a chance to make sure that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's, and they're going over video, and they're looking specifically at face-offs, and not so much how to win or lose them, but more so about when they lose. Minnesota has about 4 or 5 set plays that they run off these face-offs, and it's going to give the Blues a chance to recognize the formation, recognize the players that are on the ice, and recognize where they need to be to, you know, counter those little set plays. So for me, I look at this as a coach, especially when you're up 3-0, it's a luxury to have it. And, you know, when you're down 3-0, and then Minnesota, I don't know if we were going to talk about this or not, but I'm going to bring it into the mix. Minnesota is going home for the 2 days and coming back. Guys, I can't tell you how absolutely dumb that move is.
I didn't know. Had no idea.
Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, like, the biggest thing in the playoffs is you want to have normalcy to your group. And I know that going home seems normal, but it's not for the playoffs, because you get hunkered down in a city. And I can speak from experience. So if anybody's listening doesn't like what I'm saying, then let's compare playoff games. But I'm just telling you right now, playoffs is a time where you hunker down in the city that you're in and you set up shop. Like, you go into the hotel and you have the salons, the ballrooms, the hospitality suites, whatever, and you set up your trainers to be able to do treatments 24 hours a day if need be. You have your massage guys on call with their tables set up. So if guys have, you know, cramping, pains, anything that's going on in their muscles, it gets taken care of. You've got a couple of stationary bikes that you've brought on the road. Guys can kind of, you know, warm down if they want, or just get a little trot around the track. You've got food that's at your disposal 24 hours a day. You've got, I mean, literally, guys, you're set up like a rock star on this one. And, you know, I guess from what I'm understanding, Bruce Boudreau said, well, we want to take the heat off our players in the visiting city. Well, Bruce, how's that working out for you right now? Because you're headed back to the state of hockey, Minnesota, and you're down 3-0. And now, instead of having 2 or 3 beat writers that can talk to you on the road, you're going to have every Tom, Dick, and Harry from, you know, from Minnesota to Wisconsin wanting to ask you, what are you going to do? You're down 3-0. And they're going to bring up every negative piece of information that they possibly can. And that's because you've given them access to you by going back to Minnesota. So, you know, if staying in St. Louis, you wouldn't have that. You'd have the Blues reporters that are kind of scratching at you a little bit. But at the end of the day, they know they're just going to get a generic answer in the playoffs, that they're not going to get any real meat and potatoes from the visiting coach. You know, so to me, it's just crazy. And then not to mention that there is a physical toll that gets put on the players by having to travel on the plane. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but there is. There's when you're traveling at high altitude, the dehydration sets in more. You have to drink more water. Your muscles become tighter. Everything that you don't like to have happen happens just because. And now you, as a coach, you're inflicting that upon your players. Okay? And now let's go outside the box, just one layer outside the box. Your trainers, your equipment guys, your doctors, your medical guys, all this stuff, they have to pack up everything, load it on a plane, travel back to Minnesota, and literally through the night, because nobody knows this except for people who are around it, they won't sleep. They'll go to the practice rink or the rink where they're going to have practice, unload everything, get set up perfect, just like that setup I told you about in the hotel. They're going to try and recreate that in Minnesota. And then 2 days from now, they've got to pack up again, or actually a day from now, they're going to have to pack up everything again, go without sleep again, and try to get here and set up again. So there's a stress factor that's put on so many people by doing this. I'm actually in shock that Bruce Boudreau, a man of so many years, is doing this to his team. I mean, guys, I know I've just spit out a ton of information, but I'm that beside myself about all this.
So I guess last question on that, is it at all possible that he went to Parise, Suter, some of the team leaders, and they said, this is what we want to do? Or is this all him?
Yeah, this is a point in the playoffs where you don't consult anybody. Because, quite frankly, nobody on that team has earned the right to call the shots for the rest of the playoffs. And that, Jim, would be a direct tell that the coach is panicking if he's going to the players to say, what do you think? They'd be like, oh, shit, he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, and I'm telling you right now, if I'm in this situation, Zach Parise, grab a seat. Ryan Suter, grab a seat. Strap it to your ass because I'm in charge. This is how we're doing it, and this is what I think is best. In fact, this is what I know is best for this team. And you're going to find a way to love it and deal with it.
Last one from our fans. This is more of a statement, so maybe we're looking for advice from you because obviously you've been in the locker room as you like to say they left you there a lot. But we all know that you were on the ice for an awful lot of hockey games and in a lot of high pressure situations. So we'll get your thoughts on this. Great fan of the show, Deneen Preston at RazielMarie, Raziel Mary, or Razzle Mary, maybe, I don't know, but she sent me a nice tweet last time because I got it right, but I think maybe she was meant her name, Deneen Preston. This is what she says: 80% pumped that they are getting better with each game. Jake standing on his head. 20% waiting for the other shoe to drop. 24 years of watching. What do you say to Blues fan out there that's been disappointed before with how things are going right now?
Well, first thing I guess I have to say is sorry for being a part of those 20 years. I mean,
you should apologize.
Yeah, you should. Thank you for the apology. I feel better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played for some great teams, played with Gretzky and Hulley in the playoff runs and all that. So first off, I'm really sorry, although I can guarantee you that I wasn't a pivotal part of those series. anyway, you know what? But this is the stuff that happens, right? Like, how do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs feel up there? Like, yeah, they've got to win in overtime. But up until this season, like, it was more popular to dog on the Maple Leafs than it was to support them. And so for our fans here in St. Louis who've been great, and really, guys, they've never dogged on us. Like, you get a few people who get sour a little bit and, you know, maybe get irritated and it's understandable. But as an overall fan base, we don't have those people who just become like anti-Blues. So, you know, I think that the future looks bright. If this is a sample of what we have right now in-house, when let's be honest, we weren't supposed to be in this situation. You know, we, it's Kimby and I and everybody, we, I give Kimby shit, but we all agree that we never thought we'd be in this position. And we thought that it may have been a active rebuild this season with guys leaving and contracts expiring and all this kind of stuff. So to have Mike Yeo and the team in this situation, to me, means we've got to be 100% in. You know, the team needs our support. These young guys who've played so well need our support. And I can tell you what, we're miles ahead of what we thought we would be. So, you know, I'm very optimistic that this team is going to make a lot of noise. And the team itself has the makeup of being the LA Kings from, what, 8 years ago?
Yeah, exactly.
It does. I mean, Jonathan Quick.
He stole that cup.
He did. He carried them into the playoffs. The Kings played inside the dots, tough hockey, blocked a million shots a game, got a few goals from guys who weren't superstars. And, I mean, they really only had Drew Doughty, in my opinion, that was a superstar at the time. Kopitar was good, but he's not a superstar.
Well, you haven't even heard much from Dustin Brown since then.
Well, no, Dustin Brown's kind of, you know, they had, what, they have Williams at the time. I mean, a lot of guys who realistically you could line up side by side to a current Blues player and say, yeah, I could see that as a comparison. So
they had the one, you know, guy that was great, traded from Philadelphia. What was his name? He was supposed to be a really good player.
Carter.
He didn't do well in Philadelphia, but he went there and had a great little run there. But I don't think he's done anything since, has he?
Yeah, but still, you wouldn't put him ahead of Vladimir Tarasenko on
no,
the list
right.
of, like, dynamic players. So, you know, you have to look at that sometimes and realize that it's possible. You know, and I know it's a stretch, and I'm sure that everybody thought the LA Kings were a stretch, too, that time. But, you know, Jonathan Quick kept making saves. He kept playing well. They kept playing hard defensively and hard for each other. And before you know it, they're hoisting the Stanley Cup. So I'm really optimistic about this team. And I will say that if it's not this year, I think that in the near future, there's a real big possibility that we're going to find this team in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then at that point, it'll be up to them to close it out.
You know, not to take the crown back off your head and put it back on Kimball's, but
God.
No, you
well,
know,
that
last
was, that was a short
well,
rain.
No, last thing before you go,
seriously.
The last thing before you go, I listen, everybody and their brother's talking about Jake Allen, and they should. But, you know, I think back to everything that went on with Jake Allen this year, and, you know, it kind of is how the Blues have went, right? I saw something pop up on social media, and it's a really neat article, and the title of the article is How a Young Boy and an Old Goalie Rescued Jake Allen's Season. I see this great picture of this young kid, and it was pretty popular around St. Louis at the time because Jake Allen was so gracious when he saw this, and you know, it was a photo of a young Blues fan, Mason Gilbert, holding up that thing that says, "Dear Jake Allen, you are my favorite player. I hope you win tonight. I know you can do it. You're a great goalie." And I remember seeing the interaction between Jake and this kid. You know, we're always looking for great stories in sports and things like that. But obviously, I think any time you're an athlete, knowing that somebody believes in you, even if it's a 5-year-old kid, has got to make you feel better when things aren't going so well. But just as important, the role maybe that Marty Brodeur played in helping Jake Allen with his season.
Yeah, you know, look, it, guys, I talked a little bit about it yesterday on KMOX while we did the intermissions and postgame. And it comes down to this, is there was a coaching change, and that was a big deal. And at the time the coaching change happened, Jake Allen was not playing good hockey. He just wasn't. The puck wasn't hitting him, let's put it that way. And so for whatever reason, you know, we had Coach Mike Yeo take over, and almost immediately he implemented this zone defense system, which I call it layer defense, because you always have multiple layers to get through to get to the house or to get to the net for a scoring opportunity. So that alone, that system limits, you know, the prime time scoring chances in the house. So you have that that's been put into place. And then you have Jake Allen, who has the luxury of not only calling Marty Brodeur a friend, because he was a friend first, but he also can call him coach now. And you have a Hall of Famer, which I can tell you guys, like when I broke into the league as a young defenseman, I had Al MacInnis as my partner. It's like having Google as your partner. Like you have a question, right? Like it's funny, but you have a question, you type it in, and the Hall of Famer can tell you the answer. Like,
I can't wait to see
so
Al.
So it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Al was a great, unbelievable source of knowledge and, you know, calming for me. And so I can see the same thing with Jake, being able to look over and be like, well, Marty, what now? And having been through everything in his career and being top two NHL goalie of all time, or arguably number one, however you want to put it, he has a chance to say, hey, Jakey, listen, it's not so bad. You know, here, let's reel it in. Let's watch some video. Let's have a beer. Like, stuff that Marty Brodeur brings a whole different skill set to the table than your average goaltending coach who's very technical or political like Jim Corsi was. And Jim is great. He was a fantastic goaltending coach and will be in the future. But Marty has a way of doing it differently. And the combination of all of that together gave Jake Allen a fresh start. I mean, literally, he was able to scrap the first part of the season because at that point it didn't matter anymore. It was under a whole other system, coaching change, all that. So it gave him as a goalie to reboot the computer and start over and just start making saves. And he did. He made the first save. He started focusing more on the first save, being out in the blue paint and aggressive, heels off the goal line, make the first save. Don't leave the ugly rebounds. And, you know, even his first few games, guys, he looked a little bit, you know, awkward in the crease or in between the pipes, but he was making the saves. And now, I mean, I'd argue to say you could get a grease BB by this guy on a regular basis. So he's playing fantastic in there. And I think the credit goes to three people, Mike Yeo, Marty Brodeur, and Jake Allen, and certainly having that young fan be a part of it too. It does. It makes you remember that this is a game you loved as a kid. This is something you can do. This is something you've done your whole life, and you got this encouragement from somebody else. So all those things together have rebooted the whole computer for Jake Allen, and we find him where he is right now, which is the best he's ever played, in my opinion.
Well, my friend, before we let you go, you got any thoughts? 2 days off, as you said, you like it for the Blues as they can get it together and hopefully finish it out on home ice. Any thoughts going forward before we let you go?
Oh, no, thoughts really are, you know, the Blues were in a great position. I love these 2 days off to give rest and recovery and then a regular skate and video and all the things that you want to do for preparation. And then also, though, you got to look on the flip side of it where you've got the hardest game to win, the fourth game, and you're going to have a team that literally has nothing to lose on the line. And they're going to play that way, and they're going to try things that you've never seen before, and they're going to play like, you know, like cornered dogs. So the Blues are going to have to stay focused, stick to what they've been doing, stick to making sure that they're making the safe plays, and grind the Wild down and look for that one goal lead. And hopefully at that point, just be steady the rest of the way and close it out.
Well, you're the busiest man in show business right now, for sure. I never know where you're going to be from time to time, but we appreciate you taking time on your Monday to chat with us. And I look forward to you being in studio on Thursday. You're, of course, brought to us each and every week by numerous people that are big fans of yours and what you do for St. Louis Youth Hockey. And I'll cover those in a minute, but why don't you remind everybody where they can learn a little bit more about your hockey school, Synergy Hockey Skills, and all that that's going on right now, especially in this kind of quote-unquote off-season of hockey.
Yeah, we've got a ton of stuff going on right now with Synergy Hockey. We got lessons going on at the Ice Zone, at the Mills, and we have lessons going on in Merrimack at the Shark Tank, so wherever you live, we have something available for you, at least in close proximity. And then certainly we have the summer camps coming up. We got 10 weeks of summer camps all over St. Louis. Best way to take a look at everything, including our Synergy Performance Training, which is new on there right now. So, you know, get on the website, synergyhockeyskills.com, and check out, read up on that, as well as all the camps and some of the great coaches we have. And certainly we've got some great players that have come through here. And Jim, I forgot to mention, I had a chance to talk to the Minnesota Wild GM, Chuck Fletcher, yesterday about Luke Cunnan, who's a Synergy boy. And he had some great things to say about him, said that he's doing really well, and he's really excited to have him in the fold next year. Once again, lots of stuff going on, and lots of great things happening for some of our kids.
Well, you do a great job for hockey in St. Louis in general. Obviously, your contributions on the youth side are so well known and noted throughout town. But you're just a great ambassador for hockey in general, and we're very proud to have you on the show each and every week. And, of course, it's a little more fun when you're in studio when I have to try to separate. Gary, you've got to start being here on Thursdays. I can't keep him and Kimball separated by myself any longer.
Well, I'll come in, but that's still your problem.
Oh, no. In fact, I think what I'm going to do is start sitting you between them.
Yeah,
that would be the thing. Because when they share the crown,
let's
I can hardly
Kimball
take
in
it.
In a cage. Let's just have a cage made. I'm going to bring in my big dog cage and make him sit in the cage.
Oh,
that'd be great.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, buddy. We really appreciate you, and we will see you on Thursday.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
That is Jamie Rivers. And, of course, like I said, you're never sure where you're going to hear him or see him. I mean, you know, between Fox Sports Midwest, his work there, KMOX, you know, all the stations calling him. And, again, we're very lucky to have him be a part of this show. And you know, his commitment to us is never wavered, so we appreciate him and his time that he takes away from everything else that he's doing. And again, there's so many people that want to be a part of what Jamie's doing that are involved in the community, especially when it comes to hockey. You know, your friend, of course, now, as you become even more friendly with the Nelson family, I understand. Is that correct?
saying too much, one of them may be up on campus on Wednesday, so...
Well, that's always a great thing, of course, and we do appreciate them, and they are a great hockey family, obviously great friends with Darren and Jamie both. But the Nelson group, or Nelson family, tremendous, and what they've asked us to do is just try to help people in the St. Louis area learn a little bit more about them and what they do. And what they do is they're a tremendous landscaping lawn company, everything you may need to do. NelsonLandServices.com is what they've asked us to promote for them. They simply are asking you to go to NelsonLandServices.com and just take a look at what they do. They are a 5-star locally rated landscaping company. They do professional landscaping at reasonable costs. The only name in landscaping you're going to need to know is Nelson Land. If you want to add some splash color into an existing landscape, if you want to go all out into a waterfall or a pond, you can transform your new home into a private paradise. Nelson Land has the tools to do the job and do it right. Their phone number in the St. Louis area is 636-244-5651. They've really just asked us to get the word out, have people check them out. They're trying to grow their business here in town. They've done so much work down at the lake area. You may be familiar with them down there. But now they've expanded their business into our region, and they're asking you just to give them a chance. From Scott Nelson, the owner, we provide competitive lawn service at affordable rates and top-notch professional services. Give them an opportunity. And again, they're just asking you to check them out. NelsonLandServices.com or give them a call, 636-244-5651. Really appreciate their support for the show. And, of course, each and every week, you know, Jamie's good friend, Sean Vinson. The group over at Vinson Mortgage is so supportive of the show and all the local sports shows as well. You hear them all the time. You know the deal. You can chat live with a loan officer at VinsonMortgage.com and get the information you need instantly. Visit VinsonMortgage.com and click chat with a mortgage expert. You can connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers, and they can help you figure out the best way to reach your family's financial goals. If you want to get qualified to buy a new home, it takes less than 5 minutes. You know the number, 314-839-9999, or simply visit VinsonMortgage.com. You know, Gary, before we go over to the game time report with our good buddy Brad Lee, I got to ask you, I want to follow back up on something that we talked a little bit about with Jamie, and that is it's a great story. Like, we love great stories, right? But the kid writing the letter to Jake, this is, you know, corny, whatever you can use whatever word you want to use. I don't really care, because I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a professional athlete. I don't care if you're playing in a beer league. It doesn't matter to me. When things are not going so well and a child says, hey, you know, the child almost says, wait a minute, everybody, stop freaking out, okay? He's Jake Allen, kind of like Kimball said a few times, like, hey,
right,
this guy's been a world-class goalie. He's struggling right now. Let's not freak. But a kid, What do we know about kids? Their intentions are always pure. There's nothing, there's no reason. But a kid, okay, sends him a very simple note, which turns into this unbelievable story. Now, we forget all about this kid, unfortunately, if Jake Allen doesn't turn it around. So, you know, Marty Brodeur, okay, had a lot to do with it too. But never underestimate knowing that people believe in you and what it plays. You as a coach yourself, I can't even imagine, you know, not having some thoughts on believing in people, especially people with talent when things aren't going so well. It's hard to do, but you, I mean, isn't it almost kind of your role?
Yeah, it is my role. My players have to know that I believe in them. If I don't, or anything comes across from me to them that I don't, I'm not going to get the best production out of them. I'm not going to get the best play. But to go and, you know, with what the young kid wrote, you're right. I think it helped hit that reset button. Maybe helped Jake have a little bit different perspective about what's going on. And I think, you know, those things are important. But from a coaching standpoint, yeah, the players have to believe in what we're doing, and they have to know that we believe in their skill set, and we believe in their heart and their, you know, their try and everything that they have. But, you know, we also need, the coaches also need that belief in from them as well, so that, you know, that connectivity between the coaching staff and the players exists, and it exists on that level. And, and, you know, to me, in my experience of 27 years of coaching young men, I honestly believe it's the best thing about coaching.
Well, if you can imagine being Jake Allen at that time, struggling, things aren't going so well. I mean, we're not going to get away from that, right?
Right.
And you're looking on your Twitter timeline. You know, for these guys, when things aren't going so well, maybe they don't want to look at their Twitter, right, or their social media. And you're going along, and, you know, and I hate to say this, I wasn't checking out his Twitter at the time, but we all know that it's a reality. And to think that the professional athletes don't know would be crazy. They know. There's fans out there that just say, you encountered one yesterday that for some strange reason felt it necessary to take a shot at Barrett Jackman, who never did anything but play his ass off for this franchise. So if you're the guy that our co-host here met yesterday coming out of the elevator, you're a piece of shit.
Hey,
okay.
Whoa.
Sorry, but
ouch,
you are.
It's
just, listen, you can think whatever you want to think. I don't care. That's fine. But that's just stupid.
Well, yeah.
I mean, a guy that gave his heart and soul to you, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just dumb.
Yeah,
okay. Think whatever you want to think. That's fine. I don't care. But that's just stupid. Okay. Yeah. Whatever. So, there, I said my piece. And I hope you do listen to the show, and I hope you never listen again. So,
come on.
Well, that's just dumb.
Well, maybe, you
what
know,
good does it do to say, Jackman, you
know,
suck, right to his face when the elevator door opens?
Yeah,
what a
dumbass.
Yeah, I
mean, the guy was there with his family and stuff. But, I mean, it was just, you know, we all...
Listen, let me tell you
everybody
something.
Everybody had been partying all day, so...
But let me let you in on a little secret. Barrett's a friend of the show. He's good friends with Jamie, and he has done some stuff for us to help us. There is not a more gracious dude that played his ass off, that deserves respect from Blues fans and Barrett Jackman. And again, I know that some of it is something that we just talked about on here, and that is, and you know, one of our listeners had brought it up, lots of years, and Jamie apologized for everybody that things haven't gone so well in the playoffs. And I get that, and that's fine. But man, there is absolutely no reason, okay, to do that. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't get it, but whatever. So, you know, it's just crazy. But yeah, this young kid, I mean, can you imagine being Jake Allen and see a young kid on your timeline that believes in you? And then maybe there's a little thing that goes off in your head that says, hey, you know, I just need to do what I do.
Yeah, you know, from the mouths of babes, I guess. But, you know, I think maybe it took a help him take a step backwards, you know, and kind of put things in perspective and realize that, you know, he's here for a reason. And the reason is he is skillful and he is a good goaltender. And, you know, this little 5-year-old recognized that. So if a 5-year-old can recognize it, maybe, you know, maybe Jake can look in the mirror and see it himself.
Listen, I'm as guilty as anybody that there's times where I get frustrated, just like everybody does. And we say things, and I always joke around that that's what's really great about Twitter. It's like, I call it drunk Twitter, because it's a way for you to go and just let out whatever it is you're feeling. And you can always go hit the delete button, but a lot of times by the time you put it out there, it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I understand that, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, when it comes right down to it, you know, maybe he looked there and said, you know, this is what it's really all about. Just right. get back to doing what I do. Yeah. And then, of course, I think everybody in the room is on board with Marty Brodeur knows a little bit about the game. And again, I think the most important thing there is Marty Brodeur is a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, Jamie mentioned it about, you know, arguably the best goalie ever. In my opinion, he is the best goalie ever. And so when you can sit down with the best goalie ever who's won everything there is to win and, you know, kind of bounce things off him and maybe get a sense of, you know, ease, I guess, through his voice and or through his advice and, you know, having Marty, as Jamie said, you know, when he played with McInnes, like it was easy to ask McInnes anything and get a good answer. I'm sure that's happening with Marty. So maybe it's not just the technical part of goaltending. Maybe it's also just, you know, the 6 inches between your ears and you're relying on a guy who's seen it all, literally. So I think I think to discredit or say that Marty Brodeur isn't one of the largest factors involved in Jake coming around is ridiculous.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't really care what the reasoning is. The guy is playing unbelievable right now. We need him to play unbelievable right now. This is when you need it. But he did turn his game around. He has become the number one goalie. And again, I think the one thing Kimball said all along is, you know, this guy was a world-class goalie, okay? He knows how to play. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that go on within this game, and you know we're going to have to figure it out. And this is the thing, and this is why we give Kimball a lot of credit for this. He has said since day one, if we have a chance at all of doing anything, it's going to be with Jake Allen. And that's why Kimball, you know, whether we liked it or whether our friend Jamie liked it or not, he did have the crown and kind of still has it. So it's not good. He's stretching it out, but it's – no, I didn't say that, Darren. They made me say that. Anyway, great stuff and really appreciate it. It's time now to go over to our good friend Brad Lee over at the St. Louis Game Time. They put out the great paper. There's great stories in there right now, especially. Make sure you're checking them out at the home games. The playoff editions are awesome. If you want to be a part of it, make sure you check them out. Easy, easy, easy to do. I guarantee you you'll get hooked on it. You'll just subscribe next year. You can get it sent to you. You can read it during games. You can do whatever you really want to do with it. But it's a great perspective from a lot of writers that give you that fan look. And that's why I like it. That's why I enjoy it. Let's go over now and hear from Brad Lee and his Game Time report.
Hi, this is Brad with the St. Louis Game Time portion of the podcast. Like I said, Game Time, we are the fan-run paper that is sold outside every Blues home game, a 22-year fan tradition. We are also on the internet at stlouisgametime.com, on Twitter at stlouisgametime. You can find us almost anywhere. We are all over the place. So it's good to join you again here. It's Monday morning. The Blues are enjoying a 3-0 lead in the series against the Wild after a big 3-1 win yesterday. Game was pretty close, 2-1 before the empty netter late in the contest. It's surprising. I mean, I didn't expect to be at this point like this with this team. You know, I think the Blues were hoping to avoid Chicago in the first round. They turned it on and caught the Predators and passed the Predators to get third in the division, to get the Wild in the first round. Minnesota still had home ice advantage. First two games of Minnesota didn't seem to matter. Who knew? You know, that first game last week on Wednesday, the Wild, I think, outplayed them. The Blues got a little bit lucky there. I think 52 shots on net for the Wild in that game going into overtime. Goal by Joel Edmondson as he comes back down like kind of the weak side behind the play after Tarasenko had the puck and Barbashev kind of angled over to that side and created a lot of space and area for Edmondson. The puck comes out and he has an almost empty net goal to shoot at, and he hit it. So that was game one. You know, game two on Friday night, I think the Blues were much more in control. And while they may have gotten some lucky breaks, it was still, you know, the Blues game to lose. And Sunday, you know, I didn't think there was really that many instances where I thought I was worried about the outcome of that game. I just had confidence. They took the lead in the first period. You know, the Wild tied it up eventually. It was close, and then Schwartz scored a power play goal. Pareko had a goal. They got the empty net goal from Steen, who loves shooting at the empty net. you know, everything's clicking. And, you know, they say that the number one thing in the playoffs is you have to have a good goaltender. And Jake Allen is playing as well as anybody, maybe better. He might be the number one goalie in the league right now. Weird thing to say. I don't think I've ever said that. Jake Allen's number one goalie in the NHL right now. You know, he's faced 117 shots. He's made 114 saves. That's pretty good work if you can get it. He's been awesome. It's just amazing to watch. And, you know, he really shouldered a lot of the blame for getting Ken Hitchcock fired. Sure, the offense had fallen off. The team had stopped playing defense in front of him. You know, the last game that Ken Hitchcock coached for the St. Louis Blues was against Winnipeg, and the Jets literally skated around defenders. Then the trade deadline happened. Kevin Shattenkirk was traded for a little-known prospect named Zach Sanford, who's now displaced Jory Lehterä in the lineup. And maybe that first-round pick from the Capitals isn't going to be quite as high in the draft or low in the draft, I guess, however you put it, closer to 30. It might be a better pick after all because they are having a hard playoff series now with Toronto, going back to Toronto. So that'll be interesting how that plays out. But the bottom line is the Blues didn't try to add anyone else. They didn't try to adding any depth players. P.A. Parento, Drew Stafford could have been had for a fifth or sixth round pick. Could have added supplementary scoring, especially on the third line. Instead, they're going with Magnus Pajärvi, Vladimir Sobotka, who knew, and now Zach Sanford, while Jory Lehterä is in the press box, as healthy as a horse, as he put it yesterday to reporters. I don't get it either. You know, I thought the number one issue coming into the series was how quickly Paul Stastny could come back. Now I hope he doesn't have to play in the first round at all. By the time you listen to this week, the Blues might have already advanced. You know, they have game four at home on Wednesday. They could close the series out, and Paul Stastny doesn't even have to consider dressing and coming out for a game and can totally prepare for the second round. I think we're going to see him this playoffs. It would be optimal. It would be the best situation if he could wait till the second round, be 100% completely healthy, and see what happens. I wonder, maybe we were wrong. Maybe this is a better team than we thought. Maybe the coaching change was huge. Maybe Ken Hitchcock's message had gotten a little stale. Maybe this team has some players on it now who play better in the playoffs. I have no idea. I think we're going to have to see some more games to kind of figure out what the difference is. But you know what? They have zero goals from Vladimir Tarasenko, and no one's complaining. They haven't scored that many goals overall. No one's complaining because they've allowed even less. It's really classic playoff hockey. It's really physical, tight checking. Power plays are probably a little more scarce than during the regular season. High pressure moments, and a shockingly Bruce Boudreau team is not performing well. I know, I'm surprised too. So you know what? By the next time we talk, hopefully we're previewing the second round. Hopefully we're talking about how the Blues took advantage of a lead and made a playoff series short for a change. You know, last year the difference in finishing in the conference finals and going to the Stanley Cup finals was playing in 2 7-game series in the first and second round. If they really want to set themselves up to go for a run and see how far they can go, it is imperative to win this series in 4 or 5 games. And if we see a loss by the Blues in game 4 and they go to Minnesota for game 5, you know, there's a good chance we see a game 6 in St. Louis. And then, you know what? It's not such a short playoff series anymore. So, weird schedule. The Blues played on Sunday, then they have Monday and Tuesday off, then they play Wednesday at 8:30, woo! And then they're off again Thursday and Friday, another two-day layoff. So, rest should not be a factor. Health shouldn't be a huge factor unless there's some nagging things we don't know about, but hopefully those could get better over the next couple days. And then we'll see what happens game 4. It's going to be a loud crowd. It's going to be hopefully an impressive crowd. And hopefully the momentum from these first 3 games carries over and the Blues can finish this off soon. And then if that happens, I don't know. Who knows? The playoffs are the best. You know, you slog through 82 games in the regular season from the beginning of October to the beginning of April. And you see the beginning of fall and all of winter and then the beginning of spring. I mean, it is a marathon and a half. And to be at this point with the Blues and to be on the verge of the second round so quickly, I mean, it just makes me giddy. I mean, there were so many happy people yesterday at the game, before, during, after. And I think the excitement is just only going to build. So who knows? Well, maybe let's see what we get to talk about next week. So this has been Bradley with the Game Time segment of the podcast. Check us out outside every Blues home game on stlouisgametime.com, at St. Louis Game Time on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. We're not on Instagram. We have to draw the line somewhere. We're not on Snapchat. We're not that young. So check us out and come back next week for more with the podcast. And thanks. Jim, back to you.
Great stuff as always, Brad. Really appreciate your contributions to the show each and every week, and we really support what you're doing. Again, check them out. You can definitely get it before every home game. Look for the vendors. Again, I just think it's a great thing that's going on. I love the fact that the St. Louis Blues as an organization, in the upper management and the ownership, they read it, they enjoy it, they do it for a lot of reasons. I talked to Brad about it. What I think is really cool and why we know the ownership group here in St. Louis gets it, they read it because they want to know what the fans are thinking. And again, that was always part of this show too. We wanted it to be more fan-oriented, so we want to include you guys. So remember, if you follow us on social media, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, if you go to Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast, and like those and help us by sharing and inviting all of your friends. That's the other thing we need you to do. If you're a Blues fan and you like our page on Facebook, at Blues NHL Podcast, what we're asking you to do today is go in. There's an opportunity for you to invite your friends. Just click on it and invite all your friends that are Blues fans. We would love them to be a part of this show. We're trying to reach as many Blues fans as possible. And the only way we can do that is through you. The show has grown each and every episode, and it's really done with your help. And we're asking for your help. Share it around. Invite people to like it. We would appreciate it. Good stuff, my man. Appreciate you coming in every Monday. Wouldn't be the same in here alone, trying to just call people on a telephone.
Thanks,
on
man.
The telephone. Yeah, no, it'd be good stuff.
He even got his license, Lisa.
Yeah, good stuff. Hey, appreciate it, man. This is good. What do you think?
I think that the Blues are going to finish it.
Oh, well, that's a bold prediction. Bold prediction, Cotton. Well,
you know, honestly, it's hard to beat any team. I don't care what sport you're playing. It's hard to beat any team three in a row, and they did. So they did the hard part. So now you only have to beat.
Well, the only thing harder would be beating somebody four times in a row.
It's kind of a weird thing, but people talk about three in a row. There's threes, you know, all these three things.
I don't want to hear about the threes.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, I do know.
But now you only got to win one. You don't have to win four anymore. You only have to win one, and one will be on Wednesday, because I just believe the Blues have frustrated Minnesota enough that they're just going to come out on top.
Well, I will tell you this. Again, I'm going to make a bold prediction, say they'll go ahead and win this first round.
That was bold.
Well,
I narrowed it down to a game.
Oh, you're going to go with – okay, so that – okay, I see where you
– I said it's over Wednesday.
I got it. I got you. Okay, I'm good. So let's say we get this one. Who do you want to play in the next round?
I don't care.
You don't care? See, that's what I was asking.
I don't care.
Yeah. Does it really matter?
It doesn't. You're going to have to play a good team.
That's right. That's where I was going. I mean, look at – well, hey, we didn't even talk about this. Nashville's up 2-0 on Chicago.
I know that. Like, I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. And I hope those two teams beat the crud out of each other for seven games. I hope Dallas comes back, or Chicago comes back, and they just, whoever wins, but it's a brutal seven-game series. That'd be great if the Blues are sitting there, you know, resting and getting Jake rest because he's seen 100-something shots, you know. But, yeah, I don't care. Do you care?
I don't care.
I don't care. I mean, if... You know,
it's one of the things that
I
think...
It's not like Phoenix is in the playoffs.
It's one of the things that I think I love the most about playoff hockey, is you've got to beat the best.
Right.
And you know, the seven-game series, It's hard to win this trophy. Yes.
It's hard to win this cup.
And that's why these guys are so... they'll do whatever it takes. So I don't know, man. It's a great thing. And again, I appreciate the tweet from earlier because I think we all feel it. You know, there's a lot of, oh, here we go. And then the shoot. But I'm not going to look at it that way anymore. I'm going to quit with it.
You are?
Yeah, no I am. Way. It is going to be, I just, I'm just.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Let's just play as hard as we can and see what happens.
All right. Well,
as long as they do that, I'm happy.
And I think the fans are giving great support. you know, and you yourself. You're becoming a better supporter, a better athletic supporter.
Well, if you know, that's what you have to be sometimes.
So, who's the big star for you on Wednesday?
Well,
other than Jake, Jake's going to be Jake.
Well, here's the thing. I've said from the beginning, and he hasn't scored yet. But again, Tarasenko just plays hard. I have no issues with Tarasenko. I mean, a lot of guys disappear, okay? But he's playing hard. I have no issue. Let me tell you something.
No one's disappeared on this team.
No. And here's the other thing. I said this yesterday, too, on Twitter. You're out there, and you know who you are, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. There are people that were upset when we signed Sabocha. This guy has played really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is a pain in the ass.
He's going to the dirty areas.
And not only that, he is helping them create scoring chances. I've watched some plays develop yesterday because of his awareness on the ice.
Yeah.
This guy's a good hockey player.
He's a very good hockey player.
So you know who you are out there. When you were upset when they signed him, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, ashamed.
Hey, listen, imagine this place 2 nights from now. This guy gets the game winner. The roof will blow off the building.
Yeah,
I'm still going to go with 91. It's time. It's time
91?
For a couple. Yeah, it's time for a couple goals.
All right, here's what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Schwartzy's going to be huge on Wednesday. 17.
He hasn't been huge already.
Huge
just
on
asking.
Wednesday.
Just
like
asking.
I'm thinking a multi-goal game. I'm going that far with it. Multi-goal game out of Schwartzy on Wednesday. What do you think?
A multi-goal. I mean, there's been hardly any goals scored in this series, and now you're going to have a guy scoring two
in a game. I'm telling you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. They rung two off the goalpost in the first period yesterday, and they had more offensive pressure than they had, you know, to this point, I think. And I think the Blues found a little something in a matchup at home because they get last change that Coach Yeo really likes. And it worked a lot yesterday, and I think it's going to continue, obviously. And I think 17's going to benefit from it a lot, and we're going to see a huge day out of him.
Well, either way, as long as they win, I really don't. I don't. You know what? I don't care if the stick boy comes off the bench and scores a goal or contributes.
That would be impressive.
I really don't care.
That would be.
I just want to win.
I
just want to move on.
Well, so do I.
I just want Chicago, and I just want Chicago to lose. Is that asking too much?
No, but I want them to lose in 7. I don't want them to lose in 4. I want the Preds to have to work for it. You know, I mean, what's the point of getting that sweep and getting some rest if the other team does the same thing?
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Anyway, so again, you know what? I'm going with the kid. I'm sorry. This is all thanks to the kid.
And his 5-year-old? Note to Jake.
Yep.
All right.
That's what I'm going with.
Good job, kid.
That's what I'm going
What's
with.
What's his name again?
Mason.
Mason, you're the man.
Mason.
Mason, if the Bearcats
Gilbert.
Get down a little next year,
yeah,
need you
can
to...
we have him? Can we have him drop a puck at a Bearcat game next year?
Yes, we can.
Can we?
Yes, 100% we can.
We can.
Yes,
Mason, if you're out there, you're dropping
a puck. You're dropping
first game
puck.
Of the season next year.
Yeah.
Opener.
Oh, home opener versus SLU Friday night.
Can you give your goalie some a pep talk? Maybe.
My goalie will need some pep talk.
Okay, sounds good. Mason, you're in. Honorary Bearcat.
Puck
manager.
There you go.
Goalie coach.
There you go.
All right, I'm going with the kid.
All right, we'll even give
Why
him
not?
A lot. Yeah, hey, we'll even give him a locker
jersey.
Room. Locker room visit.
Jersey?
Well,
can we get him a jersey?
Yeah, but it'll be like his size.
That's what I'm saying. Can we get him a jersey?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you hear that, Mason? You're in. You're an honorary Bearcat. So you better take some lessons at Synergy Hockey because there's a position waiting for you when you get older. Man, look at all these shameless plugs. Isn't that good? No, I'm going to go with the kid, though. Hey, really enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. Again, thanks to my partner in crime over here, Gary Henson, the coach of the McKendree Bearcats Division II hockey team. Again, they're such an up-and-coming program, growing each and every day with the recruiting that they're doing. And, again, I just find it amazing that this buddy of mine that I've known my whole life is traveling all over the world recruiting hockey players. But good for him as he enjoys to travel. So happy for him.
Thanks.
But, again, they've turned what used to be a hidden gem here in the Midwest into taking advantage of the hockey hotbed, of course, and growing his program and doing a great job, and we appreciate it. Of course, Synergy Hockey and the SynergyHockeySkills.com, everything Jamie does. Our good friends at Vincent Mortgage, They do a great job, and we encourage you, 314-839-9999. And, of course, NelsonLandServices.com. Give them an opportunity for your business. LineupMedia.fm, thanks for all their support. And, again, they're the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Make sure you check them out. I guarantee you there'll be another show you'll enjoy. If you want to hear us talk about how bad the Cardinals have been today, check out TwoBirdsOnABat.com because there's really nothing else to talk about other than how bad they've been. Again, for Gary Henson, this is Jim Cromer, Jamie Rivers, Darren Kimball. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.